It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It's California Wine Country time, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Dan Berger, my co-host, of course. Today, Greg Morthol is here, the winemaker at Davis Bynum. Great to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you.
And Dan, introduce our other guest.
Oh, let him introduce himself.
Please do.
Got smart moves.
I'm Justin Seidenfeld. I'm the winemaker for a new brand launched by Tom Klein, the owner of Rodney Strong, called Rowan Wine Company.
Rowan.
Yeah, it's a new brand based off of a single vineyard site that's located at high elevations of 2,000 feet. And it's a project we've been working on for about 15 years. And so we're finally got the vineyard planted, got the wines made, and excited to launch it.
And Tom owns Davis Bynum now?
Tom has, yes, we bought Davis Bynum. I've been at the winery since 2005.
Oh.
And Tom bought Davis Bynum back in 2007. Handshake deal with Davis.
I've known Hampton Bynum for 30 years.
Yeah. Do you know Susie?
That's his sister. I have met her, yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
Are they still involved? Or?
Not with Davis Bynum, but Susie is making her own wines, I know.
Oh,
and
cool.
Hampton's around. Yeah, they're a good family.
I haven't seen Hampton in years, but yeah, we go back to at least 30 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so Greg, I always ask about the winemakers and their history. How did you get into all this?
Well, I was a natural sciences guy out of Wyoming, University of Wyoming, of all things. So my parents are from Wyoming. It's kind of an odd thing, but they are. And I went out to school out there. Thought I was going to get into dentistry. My friend said, "You want to stick your hands in other people's mouths all day?" And I said, "Well, okay, I'll rethink that." And so,
yes, that is a hell of a friend you have there, sir.
And,
because
and
come
I
on,
showed up in the wine industry. What can I say?
Wow.
So I moved back out to California. And where
go to
I grew
Davis,
up.
Or?
No, actually, I mean, Wyoming was it. I've taken many classes since then, but just a natural sciences degree from Wyoming, and then came back out to Sacramento, and then subsequently moved out to Sonoma County back in '99 to be with my girlfriend, who's now my wife, and two kids later, and a cat,
nice.
And a picket fence, and all
and
that
lots
stuff.
Of good wine.
Yeah, and then got into winemaking.
Dan, what do they make in Wyoming when it comes to wine? I've never heard.
Actually,
I don't think I've ever had a Wyoming wine.
Yeah, I had two of them, and they're not bad at all. It's the thing about Wyoming is that you've got some high altitudes, really high altitudes, and
yeah.
You've got some really cold weather. So if you don't have pretty good warmth, you're not going to ripen certain grapes. But Wyoming's a state that does have some potential in the West. We have a lot more opportunities in the West. The East, you've got problems with. All kinds of problems, all kinds of humidity, and you've got bugs, and you know you don't want to grow grapes in the East Coast. That's not easy.
But New York is doing well.
Well, yeah, New York is. They have the wonderful Finger Lakes District because
right.
They have the cooling weather from
upstate.
Off the lakes,
yeah.
And of course Michigan and Wisconsin. We have there are plenty of properties that are in risky areas, and of course now there are some grapes growing in Minnesota that are fabulous.
Really,
grapes that we don't know very much about, but they're really wonderful wines.
And the history of Davis Bynum, Greg, can you fill us in on that? I mean, they've been around a long time.
Long storied history with Davis Bynum. Davis started making wine in 1951. He and a buddy were up on Spring
Jeez.
Mountain.
Wow.
Decided to, you know, they're 25 years old, decided they're going to just make some wine. And they rolled down into Napa Valley and ran into Robert Mondavi, bought some grapes off him, who must have been all of 32 or
Jeez.
5 or so, I don't know
yeah.
what, and bought some grapes off of him, clearly over at Krug, and fermented that, and basically they just started. And, you know, about – you have to fast forward about 15 years, but he was a reporter in the meantime in San Francisco for the Chronicle, and he was doing homemade wine. And so it was still in his blood. His dad was a wine writer and a wine judge and all these things. So it was on the table, and it was in his blood. And destiny came knocking when he's about 40 years old in the mid-60s. He started his own wine label, 1965, and eventually he bought a property up in Napa Valley, which is now where Whitehall Lane is. He had that property for a while. He didn't end up building a winery there, and there were some restrictions on building at that time. And so he owned those grapes for a while. He made wine from those grapes for a while. But he had a fateful dinner with the Allen family, friends of his, over on West Side Road, right next to the Rocchioli's, had a bottle of their homebrew, and that just teed it off for him. And he sold that property over in Napa. He moved over to the Russian River, built a winery out of an old hop kiln, established first winery on West Side Road, and just, you know, helped establish the Russian River and
Pinot
Noir.
He was really one of the pioneers of Pinot Noir out that way.
I'm just reading this. In 73, Davis Bynum became enamored with Pinot Noir grapes from Joe Rocchioli Vineyards.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the rest is history.
And it started with the Rocchioli family, but also with Davis understanding the quality of these grapes, not only to making a California-style wine, but also a red Burgundy-style wine in the same bottle. So it's a really interesting parallel. Now, the interesting thing, if you look all the way back to that period, only two wineries in the Napa Valley and Sonoma County changed positions. Davis Bynum started in Napa and moved to Sonoma, and ZD started in Sonoma and moved to Napa.
ZD.
ZD Winery out in on the Silverado Trail.
Yeah, Napa Valley.
So there are two fairly obscure bits of historical information.
Wow. Yeah, and maybe Chateau Souverain. I was over there, too, right?
Chateau Souverain was actually a name change because the original Chateau Souverain didn't exist as a chateau. So it was just Souverain Cellars.
Okay.
I still have a few bottles of those.
I'm sure you do, Dan. I call them Dan Lay It Down Burger. This is talk about this one that we tasted.
Pouring the River West Chardonnay. I've had the great pleasure of making this for the last, this is the ninth vintage running. So I've really gotten to know this vineyard really well. And
are these all Russian River?
They're all Davis Bynum, all Russian River wines.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
On single vineyards. This is the one Chardonnay we make right now. There's room to look at other vineyards and things like that.
You need to make more.
You like this one?
This is really good. I'm a Chardonnay guy.
We've tinkered with it over the years, so we've dropped the oak. This is more important to this vintage that's in your glass right now and going forward. So we've dropped the oak a little bit down to the low 20s.
I like that.
Just to let the fruit shine a little bit. Dan pointed out before we went on the air that there's some nice flinty minerality to the wine. I've always enjoyed that. It's always there. It's just something that's inherent in the vineyard. It's just truly terroir.
And, it's very much like a Burgundy, like a white Burgundy. But
yeah, give us
Burgundy
the whole burger story here. Now that you've tasted.
Well, this has a slight bit of that minerality that you don't see very often in California wine because it's very risky. You try to make this kind of wine, and if it gets away from you, if you take a weekend off, this can go into the funky period.
Really?
But this is really clean, and it's beautifully structured. And what I like about it is good acidity, so it'll go with food.
That is one thing. We structure the wine around that acid, so we like to pick early. There's another element there. I don't know if you pick up on it, Dan, but there's a floral tone for me in the background. Mm-hmm. And so there's some Spring Mountain clone, and there's some Clone 809.
I get floral on the back end.
Yeah. In its youth, it shows more of that. And with its age, the flint and the mineral will last and last in the acid.
It's gorgeous. What year again?
This is a 2015.
Nice.
Yep.
Wow.
Beautiful wine, and it's already got a head start on its aging. Some people like them when they're fresher and younger. I think this is going to be better in two more years.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm looking forward to drinking them in 2 years as well.
And
if there's any left.
We thought Greg was coming in solo today, so I don't have our other guest's name.
Justin.
And a winemaker at the new Rowan.
Yeah, so I've been winery. With the Rodney Strong Wine Estates family for 8 years. Wow. and came on board to oversee all of our the Rodney Strong's estate in Sonoma County tiered wines. This project started actually in 2010 when I got on board, finishing planting the vineyard and then building the state-of-the-art winery that it's made in. It's called the Boneyard, which is a square tank fermentation cellar, the first of its kind in the world, that we designed and constructed in 2014. And then this year I took over as director of winemaking for Rodney Strong Wine Estates and oversee all of the winemaking for this brand as well as the Rodney Strong brand. And this wine and brand in particular, as I said before, is focused on a single vineyard called the Cooley Ranch, which is a 20,000-acre property located northeast of Lake Sonoma. It was kind of came together, owned by the Cooley family in 1910. It used to have grapes in the early 30s.
Yeah, I think I hung out with them back in 1910. Yeah. I remember that.
Long time. you look young for your
Crawford
age.
Crawford Cooley, still with us.
Yep.
Really?
He's 90, nice man. 94 years old,
yeah.
And he's still doing great. His son, Bob Cooley, runs the ranch for the family now, and we have a long-term lease for the next 70 years on the property. So we've worked with the two of the foremost viticulturalists in the world and soil scientists, with Dr. Daniel Roberts and Paul Anamosa, to really dissect this estate and ranch down to the 200 best acres that we could find of the 20,000 that we had to look through, and planted a gamut of Bordeaux varietals with one small block of a interplanted Syrah Viognier, which is kind of the nuance of this particular wine you have in front of you, called Rowan, which is a blend of
Rowan,
Cabernet, Malbec, and a co-fermentation of Syrah and Viognier, all the grapes planted together.
And Greg, this is another Davis Bynum red?
Yeah, we just poured a Davis Bynum. This is our tried and true Jane's Vineyard. 2016, we just won best of class at
and
the
Pinot
Sonoma
Noir,
County Harvest.
Pinot Noir with Russian River's name on it is already well-established in the marketplace. If you've got a Russian River Valley Pinot Noir in your portfolio, you're ahead of the game because it's really
that is
highly praised.
Silky.
Yeah, gorgeous. That's exactly the word it is, silky.
Talk more about it. Give me the treatment.
Right now, it's an awfully young wine. I mean, it's a 15, I guess. Is this 15 or 16?
2016, actually. Yeah.
It's really young.
Yeah.
And but the flavors really do come in the aftertaste, and it shows how much incredible intensity there is without it being blockbusterish. It has intensive fruit, but the tannins are managed properly, so it's not heavy. And what's really nice is that as you swirl and swirl and swirl, you start to pick up more of that sort of rose petal. And
it explodes on the finish.
It really does. Yeah, it's got a lot of aftertaste.
Yeah, yeah.
Drinks well the next day, too. You know, at home, favorite thing is my wife and I share half a bottle the next day. No gassing the bottle or anything. Leave it.
You put it in the fridge?
Come back. No. Just counter. Put the cork back in. That's
cool.
It.
The one secret to this wine, I'm looking at the text sheet, it's got a pH of 3.55. Now, let's not get geeky, but when the pH is that low, it means the wine's stable.
Yeah.
And that's going to give you 2 days in bottle easy.
It's built to last.
Did you mention how long you'd lay this down? Because you said it was young.
Pinot Noir is tricky to predict ageability, but I think probably more than likely this will be best at about 6 years from now.
Wow.
But if you go 10... And if it does make it, I think 3.55 pH is enough, low enough so that you can go for 10 years. This might be the one that really starts to develop at about 6 to 7. And if you're patient at around 10, it's going to be fabulous.
And if you ask me, the travesty is that people will do that with a Pinot, but they won't do that with a Chardonnay.
Yeah, they should try the Chardonnays, too. We've had older Chardonnays. They're great.
Yeah. So, Justin, Rowan, when was the first Rowan vintage?
So the first vintage was 2014 with a pretty small production that sold out really quick. So this is the 2015. That's our first national release. And it's flying right now. We're almost sold out at the winery, and so it's just starting to filter out into the marketplace.
And the blend?
It's about 60% Cabernet, 20% Malbec, and 20% of a co-fermentation of Syrah with Viognier.
It's called Rowan Red Wine.
Yep, it's a red wine blend.
R-O-W-E-N, by the way, folks.
And so the definition of that means an unexpected windfall. So when we planted the vineyard, we knew it was going to be great just by the research we did, but we didn't know how great. And so it was really unexpected, and so that's what we call it.
What I really love about this wine is that the Malbec really delivers fruit that, like, Malbec rarely delivers. You see a lot of Malbec from Argentina. It's somewhat, to me, a little simplistic. Here you have a brightness of the blueberry. And I think with that added to sort of the peppery notes that come from the Syrah and then a little bit of the herbal from the Cabernet. It's gorgeous wine.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we've been really enjoying making this wine. And I think that little floral high note at the finish, that nuance from the Viognier component, co-fermenting with that Syrah really gives it that interesting nuance that separates it from the pack.
And again, it's structured properly. It's
and got that's the high elevation.
PH, yeah.
Yeah. So when you work, when you grow grapes at high elevation, you get this temperature inversion. So you stay fairly cool at night. I'm sorry, excuse me, warmer at night and cooler during the day. So we can maintain this really beautiful natural acidity, which keeps that fruit vibrant, but allows the grapes to really mature naturally, meaning phenolic maturity. So we get good structure, good color, wonderful silky tannins without too much low acidity, making it flabby and pruney.
Dan? Yeah.
Excuse me, I turned my mic off. I love all this so much. The Rowan.
Isn't that lovely wine?
It really is.
It's delicious. It doesn't ask the consumer to sacrifice flavor on behalf of things like alcohol. This wine is really beautifully structured. It says 14.5 alcohol, but you don't taste the alcohol in any way in this case.
No,
I agree. It easily could be 14 or 13.5.
And does Rowan, is there a winery that, you know, with a tasting room? Or
no, so this is made at the Rodney Strong Wine Estates campus.
Makes
it's
sense.
Got its own facility called the Boneyard, which is a 57-tank facility that all the grapes are processed and made through. We use distinct barrel selections for this particular wine that's separate from the other brands under our portfolio. But at this point, it's pretty small production. Between the three wines that we produce for this, it's less than 3,000 cases. So no separate facility just yet.
And one thing that Greg just pointed out to me is that the Pinot Noir, largely Pommard clones, which are older clones that have come into the United States.
Well, this is the next Pinot Noir. So this is the second.
The next one? Okay, well, I don't have that yet.
Yeah.
So that's really a...
Oh, that is the Pommard.
It is?
I switched on you.
Oh, you switched. No wonder it's so good.
It's pronounced Pommard?
Pommard.
There's a D at the end, but it's Pommard clone from Jane's Vineyard, which we are familiar with. Another 2015 Pinot from Davis Bynum.
That's right. Yeah. So it's a 10-acre block. And we pulled this on its side. It's a heritage clone from the United States and obviously hails from a very very famous region in Burgundy. It's known for, you know, the way we make it anyway and the way it comes across anyway. The terroir of this clone where we grow is a great fall wine. There's a lot of there's a little bit of a reddish fruit tone. There's plenty of cola and I think sarsaparilla and earth tones and, you know, orange peel and those types of things. It's, you know, if you're watching the brown leaves fall off the tree and blow down and, you know, the kids are out playing in the yard, this is a great fall wine.
That is way, what you just said is way over my palate pay grade. So but sarsaparilla?
You know, he's right, but he knows the wine better than we do.
Sure.
I don't pick those things up just yet, but if somebody decanted the wine for an hour or three, you would start to begin to see some of these pieces. Now, I take the winemaker's word on that because they taste the wine from the moment it's grapes.
Yeah.
And I can't tell it right now either.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, all I know is it's good and silky again.
Yeah.
And you can use the word complex. Yeah. That's all you need to say at this point.
We do, well, to that end, we do native yeast fermentations. So we don't add the yeast. We don't add the ML bacteria. They come in on the grapes and then they eventually will go. We maintain it. We watch it. You know, we control it. You know, you control it as much as you can. When you're doing wild fermentations, it's a little risky. But I think you benefit from complexity. And so that's something that we've always done with Davis Bynum. And the same would be true for the Jane's Pinot and the Chardonnay as well.
Well, it's gorgeous. It's all gorgeous.
Mm.
You're all gorgeous.
Well, thank you.
Well, especially Kathy. It's California Wine Country. Dan Berger, of course, today featuring Justin from Rowan Winery, R-O-W-E-N, and Greg Morthol, the winemaker at Davis Bynum. Davis Bynum, you said you're only making one Chard right now?
One Chardonnay, that's right.
What's the
River
history
West.
Of the Chard with Davis Bynum?
Oh, it goes back. So Rodney Strong, you know, handshake deal between Davis and Tom Klein, you know, we bought the brand from Davis back in 2007. But Rodney Strong has been picking this Chardonnay off the River West Vineyard for about 40 years.
Wow.
So the River West Chardonnay was put into a Rodney Strong bottling back in 1976 or 77, somewhere right in there. And it was made for some years, and then they stopped making it as a single vineyard. And, I mean, all these years later. In fact, the funny thing is, the side story is that Davis Bynum used to want – he wanted to own the River West Vineyard. Rodney Strong had right of first refusal on it, and Rodney took it. And Davis, after all those years, went and Rodney Strong purchased the brand from Davis. We've got, you know, Davis had his name on the label with the River West Vineyard on the brand, you know, but he never ended up owning the vineyard that he wanted to way back.
Wow. Then. Having known Hampton Bynum, as I said earlier, for 30 years, I'm assuming Davis Bynum is not with us anymore.
No, unfortunately, Davis is quite old when he passed away back in December.
He's
93.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah, 93.
Hey. Quite a pioneer and a good friend of mine, Dan Shirley. They, I know, went way, way back. I knew Davis since he was my older friend. You know, I knew him starting, what, about 8-9 years ago, and when he was in his mid-80s. Wow. And he was a fantastic gentleman.
Unbelievable. Yeah. What a great story and what a great winemaker and winery. Greg's here from Davis Bynum, Justin from Rowan. And, of course, Dan Berger. It's California Wine Country. Go check out the podcast. It's available where all fine podcasts are available, including calwinecountry.com. We're featuring Greg Morthol, the winemaker at Davis Bynum, and Justin Seidenfeld, the winemaker at the new, relatively new, Rowan Winery. And, by the way, Mr. Seidenfeld, I loved your NBC sitcom, Seidenfeld, with Kramer and everybody.
That's how I can afford to make all these wines.
Okay, so this is called 2040. Explain this. This is a fabulous story, Justin.
So, as I had mentioned before, we based all of the wines for Rowan Wine Company from a single vineyard site, which is called the Cooley Ranch. So the Cooley Ranch is that 20,000-acre property, which is just amazing. And the peak elevation on the property from a USGS peak, which you can go to any map and find, called Sky High Mountain, is 2,040 feet. We actually planted the crest of that hill with Clone 30 Cabernet, which is the Disney clone, which is what this wine is made from.
Wait a minute. Geek alert. Disney clone?
Yeah. So there's a vineyard in
Do the
Napa.
Bottles have ears?
Yeah. I tried.
Mickey Mouse ears or something? Yeah.
So there's a vineyard in Napa called Silverado Vineyards, and somebody pulled a selection from that site and then cleaned it up at Foundation Plant Services at UC Davis and made a clone, which is kind of just a subset of Cabernet, that exhibited really interesting characters. And so now it's become known as the Disney clone. It's sort of there's the Coppola clone. There's the Mondavi Heritage clone. So there's places that people have sourced their parent material from, and they've named named that clone after that location.
It was Walt Disney's widow who had founded that property along with her daughter and son-in-law. And the son-in-law was a former Los Angeles Rams quarterback. That's a long story. So,
wow.
So it's a Disney family, and that's how that.
Wow.
So it's called the Disney clone. So this is, and now we call it Clone 30. So it's based on Cabernet planted at that crest of the hill.
2,040 feet.
So we call the wine 2040 because there's no better, in my opinion, there's no better way to be authentic than just be honest. And
I'm big on wine labels. I love this.
It's a great label.
It is so cool. It just, it's, I don't know, it just says 2040.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's an old, I don't know, what do you call
it? It's a rock.
Yeah. So you can go to RowanWineCompany.com and you can see all the labels. This is a whole new venture for us where even the Rowan 2040, and there's a third wine that's not here called 600L, which is sort of a passion project of mine. We only made 629 bottles of that. Not cases, but bottles.
Wow. That is so cool.
Each wine is done to the utmost excellence that we're able to do.
Dan, burger me on the 2040, please. I need a burger.
Well, the 2040 here has this beautiful silkiness to it. I mean, Cabernet is a tough variety. It's got a lot of tannin. The tannin in this wine reminds me a little bit of the tannins you get out of the Stag's Leap District, and that's where that clone comes from. The question is, How difficult was it to handle the tannins in this wine? It's beautifully structured.
It's actually not as hard as you think. So even though we're at elevation, 2,040 feet, which gives us exposure to all this extra UV light, and as the grapes get exposure to that UV light, they respond by protecting themselves, getting thicker, darker skins, which ends up leading to potentially higher tannin. But what we're able to do is because of the site we selected, which is based off of something called greenstone, which is a 20-million-year-old soil, we're able to get this rich red soil that we planted in. And that leads to what we call melted tannins. So we get a lot of tannins, but soft tannins. All you have to understand is they're just very melted. They're very soft and silky and beautiful.
I like it. All right.
It doesn't seem like you did any post-fermentation maceration because the wine is so silky. It's got that gorgeous.
So we do about 21 days of skin contact total.
That's not very much.
We do about 5 days of cold soak and then the fermentation, which, again, just like Greg's wines, is all natural. It's all native. And then we do a thermal maceration, which means we heat up the tanks. So we have the ability to put hot glycol in the jackets of the tanks, and we warm the tanks up to about 88 degrees Fahrenheit, which then we hold at that temperature as we're extracting all this flavor.
Wow.
And the heat is the catalyst to pull out all the flavor. So it's a technique that's become fairly prevalent across most of the wine industry over the last maybe 10 years. And that thermal extraction really helps soften everything up and develop the flavors in them.
I asked Greg his history earlier. I think I failed to ask you yours. How did you get into all this?
So I went to UC Davis, and I'm guilty of what I call is going to the best wine school in the world. But I'm sure all my coworkers from Fresno and Cal Poly would argue. I would beg to differ. So I went to school at Davis, got my degree in viticulture enology. First winery I worked for in 2005 was Iron Horse. And worked with David Munksgaard and helped him start the native fermentation Chardonnay and Cuboc Pinot and several other projects there. Went back to school to finish up. Got hired by Robert Mondavi in Napa right out of school.
Wow. And
was there until Tom Klein recruited me over to Rodney Strong in 2010 and have been there ever since.
I got to ask you again, give me some more info on the Coulee Ranch story. You gave me a printout here. The story of the legendary Coulee Ranch is the story of pioneering of the American West.
Yeah,
Who are the Cooleys? Where did they come from? And talk about the Coulee Ranch.
Yeah, so Crawford Coulee and his father were, I believe, both attorneys in San Francisco.
Really?
And they summered in Sonoma County. And over the years, they assembled this epic property from buying bits and pieces from all their neighbors to accumulate what is now 19,998 acres, 20,000 acres. And it is the most rugged, majestic property, you know, I've ever been on. It's, you know, we have bear, we have cougar, we have boar, we have porcupines, bald eagles, golden eagles. There's deer just running everywhere you see. It's just amazing.
Do they eat the grapes?
No, every block of grapes is surrounded by deer fencing. We have more than 20 miles of deer fencing on the property.
Wow.
It's just a site that was virgin when we planted it and has allowed us to truly do something that I like to say. I like to make bold statements. So I like to say it's the last grape vineyard to be planted in Sonoma County, just due to the fact that the regulatory environment has shifted to the point where the things that we were able to accomplish, which took us 17 years to do, today would take 25 or 30.
Where did the Coolies come from?
Their deep history other than the fact that Crawford's father bought the first piece of the property in 1910.
And Crawford Coulee did found Hacienda Vineyards that was based in Sonoma Valley for a long time. And their winemaker was Steve McRosty. And now, of course, Steve, we had him on the show several months ago, and he is making his own wines under the McRosty label.
And he's doing great stuff.
Wonderful stuff. Everything that has a history in this county should be preserved, and I've tried to do that in some of my columns because there are a lot of wonderful connections between these folks. Crawford is just a wonderful person and a great human being. Everybody in this area loves him and deserves all the credit for what he's done for this county.
Right. And so there's a familial relationship between Tom Klein and Crawford. Tom Klein's wife, I believe, father was a partner in the same law firm as Crawford.
In San Francisco.
In San Francisco. Yeah. And so they somehow started the conversation. Crawford wanted to make sure that his ranch was protected for pretty much forever. And so we worked out this long-term lease to make sure that the money that the vineyard produces can go back that to protecting the remaining acreage of the property. So
beautiful.
Bob Cooley does an exceptional job maintaining the roads and making sure that the vineyard, the areas not vineyard, are always maintained in their natural habitat.
Greg, what are we doing here? You brought a lot here.
We did. Well, that was five wines. We could circle back through.
I thought that Pommard Pinot was pretty good.
I agree with that. Good thing we have these dump buckets here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dan?
Well, a couple of things about Tom Klein. Tom and his family were involved with various agricultural products that had nothing to do with wine for several years. They had Klein Foods. And when he moved into Sonoma County, it was several decades ago, actually, and he was very, very low-key about trying to get publicity. That publicity was not his thing. His thing was to try to step into an industry that was already pretty well established, but to try to do something that was really very interesting, and that is to produce wines of high caliber that were not necessarily flashy, but also were to be sold at a fair price. So all these wines, I think, have prices that are really under the market, and I think they're really representative of what Tom has always tried to do.
Well,
nice man and a great family.
And they actually still do farm all of that agriculture in the Delta Stockton area. They farm everything from potatoes to asparagus, corn, alfalfa.
Still
to this day. Jeff Klein, Tom's nephew, manages all of that operation for the family. And it's really great. You know, once a year we are able to get together with the entire family at the winery and sit down and really talk about what we're doing. They come, they taste with us, and they're just as passionate about the brand as, and not just Rodney Strong, but Rodney Strong Wine Estates, which is Davis Bynum Rowan Wine Company and Rodney Strong Vineyards. And they're excited about the future. They're excited about Greg's leadership of Davis Bynum and the future of Rodney Strong Vineyards and now Rowan Wine Company.
It's davisbynum.com. Bynum, obviously, is B-Y-N-U-M. What's the Rowan?
RowanWineCompany.com.
There you go. Keep it simple. Wow, I'm impressed, man.
You talk about the label design on the red wine, which we didn't talk about that. It's a gorgeous label.
Yeah, so the Rowan Wine Company, the Rowan label is an actual painting. It was we commissioned an artist to come in and paint a picture for us, which we actually have hanging in the winery, and it's a depiction of the Cooley Ranch. There's a beautiful, majestic peak, which is Sky High Mountain, and then the label is a one-piece label. There's not a front or a back. It's just the one piece of paper, and it's a photograph of the actual painting, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
And, you know, we keep this brand is very simple. We're not trying to pull anybody into what they're tasting. So we don't say you're going to have blackberry and blueberry and oak in the flavors. We keep it simple. So the back says from Sun, Mountain, and Sea, which is really all – what we need. We need sun to ripen the grapes. We need the land we're on, and we're pretty close to the ocean to bring in those.
I saw that on the bottle. So that was very cool.
We try to keep it simple, and that's really the concept of just.
Where will the Rowan wines be available?
The 2040 will be only direct through the winery. Rowan is available. It's nationally distributed. You can get it at many restaurants in town.
Bottle Barn?
Bottle Barn. You can get it at Bacchi and other locations.
All right. And, Greg, as far as Davis Bynum these days, you guys are all over Bottle Barn, I'm sure.
Oh, well, since we won Best of Class, with this wine right here, the 2016 Janes, they put up a big display. Many thanks to Bottle Barn, our friends over there.
Well, Barry Herps, the wine buyer, is with us almost every week, but he's gotten so busy recently. And tonight there's the Press Democrat Awards.
The awards for Best Of.
Of Awards, So they're involved with that, which they should be. It's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Dan Berger, my co-host today, featuring Greg Morthol, the winemaker at Davis Bynum, Justin Seidenfeld. And by the way, please say hello to Costanza and Kramer for me. As I love your show.
I'm having dinner with them later. I'm actually going to be late.
Oh, God. Justin is the winemaker at Rowan Wines, which is all part of the Tom Klein, Davis Bynum, Rodney Strong family. And, man, they've been doing great stuff for a long time, and now they got Rowan, which is also amazing. Dan?
Phenomenal wines at fair prices, and I think that the adventure of going into this Rowan brand gives you opportunities that you didn't have with some of the other products that you have, because these blends, this one blend, the red wine, is just wonderful wine at a fair price.
Yeah, it's exciting for us. You know, we have these historical brands with Davis and Rodney, who, you know, were amazing individuals that started iconic brands in Sonoma County. And so Rowan gives Tom Klein and his family the opportunity to start something that is going to be their legacy in the future. And they've really spared no expense, whether it be the vineyard or the winery, to make sure that the wines come out just truly exceptional.
Yeah, and you know, Justin, wouldn't you say it's an adventure? I mean, this thing is like a hot air balloon that just took off. And I mean, which way is the wind going? I mean, you know,
we're still learning. You know, the vineyard is, we're only on our fifth leaf of the vineyard, so we're still learning the best spots. We're still making decisions on if we want to change varietals, but the hard work that was put in by Tom, Ryan Decker, our director of estate vineyards, Doug McElroy, director of wine growing, to do the homework to make sure that the aspects are correct, the soils were the right ones to plant in, clonal selections were accurate to give us the foundation to truly make these great wines that will build a new legacy for the Klein family. Yep. is exciting, and I'm happy to be and honored to be the leader of this new brand.
And we'll see where it goes. I mean, this could go in a lot of different directions.
Yeah, very well.
Remind everyone, because we got a lot of 5 o'clockers who join us, the name Rowan comes from, I was thinking, oh, Rowan and Martin, but Dan and I are the only two people old enough to know who they are.
So the name Rowan, the name Rowan stands for an unexpected windfall. That's what the definition of it means. And so when we planted this vineyard, we knew it was going to be great, but we just didn't know how great. And so it was truly unexpected when we made this first wine, which we actually made before we made the name. It just fit. And now Rowan and then the 2040 has surpassed our expectations. And there's a third wine out here called 600L, which is a wine that's made in these custom-made 600-liter barrels that I purchase. This is a small project that I actually do everything myself. I prune the grapes.
Wow.
I thin them, everything but picking. I do the cellar work myself. So it's sort of a – Tom said, if you were going to have your own brand, what would it be? And I said, this is what it would be. So we have three wines, 600L, 2040, and then our main wine, which is called Rowan. And we're super excited to launch this nationally right now.
And only available on the website.
The three wines you're making is available nationwide, actually.
Oh, okay.
You can get it in all 50 states. The 2040 and the 600L are available directly from the winery. There's extremely small production. 2040 is less than 400 cases, and 600L is 629 bottles.
And just to set the record straight here, it's $55.
Please do, sir.
$55 for the red wine, and it's a decent value. It's a little more than most people would want to spend, but they will be amply rewarded. This is a really good price for a great wine.
Yeah, you know, and I'd just like to say, it's winemaking is something where you only do it. You ride that bike once per year. You know, there's crush and whatever we learn this year. I take a lot of notes, Justin, Justin does too. And we learn what we're going to learn this year. We talk to our elders. You know, Rick has been around for a long time. He's just going into retirement. You know, he's been at Rodney Strong for the last 39 years. David Ramey's consulted with us and all of his experience. And
David Ramey's just been in.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just, you learn from these guys who've been around for quite a while. And then you've got guys like Justin and I. I mean, I'm in my 40s. Justin's just shy younger, touch younger than me. And but our experience, builds and builds. But I mean, it just is one of those things where I love a great IPA. If you've got what you need to make it, you can make it whenever you want. In wine world, you know, you ride that bike a whole lot one vintage, but you learn and you apply what you've learned the next year and then in forthcoming years.
Greg Morthol, the winemaker at Davis Bynum. And Justin Seidenfeld, and I'm going to beat this to death. Say hi to Kramer and Costanza and everyone for me. I can't.
I will. You know, I don't know the lines from Seidenfeld that well, but I would have said one if I did.
Kramer. You know. Don't forget Kramer.
I said Kramer.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Justin, Greg, great to meet you both, man.
Yeah.
And again, it's Rowan Winery.
Rowan Wine Company.
RowanWineCompany.com, and, of course, DavisBynum.com.
That's right. And, I mean, what's the line? I mean, I think it's, we're out of here. You know, isn't that,
is that what it is?
That'll work.
We're done.
And, by the way, I want to say hi to all our friends at Tasting Rooms who are still open or whatever, because we hear that this show is broadcast on the speakers in tasting rooms and places all around at wineries. Because
good news.
You know, yeah, it's cool. Guys, thanks so much. We'll
Thank
see you.
You
again. And
Sounds
Dan,
great.
We'll see you next week.
Next week.